In the world of religion, it is commonly understood that we are to work our way towards God. And while we as Christians and with a largely Protestant background in history would eschew that, would say, no, that's just not how it goes. There is still a part of our brain. There's still a part of our unredeemed flesh. That part of us that loves sin, that still holds on to that religious thought in the back of our minds at times, that somehow, some way, that I still have to earn my acceptance with God. And not only that, I have to earn, do certain things to ensure that I still make it into heaven. And so there's still a performance-based aspect of this. Now, that is not to say, of course, that we don't work. The difference is that we work for different motives. We work as is motivated by grace, not fear. We work as is based out of gratitude, not fear. And so we do work. We do participate in the work of God in the world among us and in us and through us. But we do so joyfully. We do so as Jesus did, which was with love for the Father and love for others and with joy, because we know that our work has eternal value. So there's a whole different motivation than working or observing or performing religious duties in order to become something that we are presently not, in hopes of that thing that we become finding acceptance with God. So it's something we must be on guard against on an ongoing basis. I mean, I've been a Christian for 50 years now, it seems, and almost 50 years. And it is incredible to me still how that hot thought still haunts me at times. And so it's right in there, as they say, with the presence of sin in my unredeemed flesh and the mind that will eventually pass, will eventually stay behind when I go to be with the Lord, or He returns for me. And so it is still there. It is still part of something that has not been fully eradicated. But I think it's important to remind us ourselves from time to time just what is the nature and the profundity and the breadth and the depth of this grace that we have working in our hearts. For instance, in 2 Thessalonians, I was reading this last night, and this is what stirred my heart. In the final few verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says this, quote, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." End quote. Now, that is a lovely benediction in itself. But it's also a reminder that is the God of peace, that the God that we serve, the one whom we call Father, is the God of peace. And that it is He that is sanctifying us through and through. In other words, it is He who is at work in us to work out that which He has already worked in. Inasmuch that the religious person is working hard to become something they are presently not in order to be found acceptance with God, we, on the other hand, are working out that which we already are. We're working to become who we already are in Christ. There is nothing for us to gain as far as acceptance with God. There's no greater acceptance that we can have than that which has been found in Christ. The work of Christ on our behalf is a finished work. It's complete. There's no more saved than we can be. We can, however, realize that salvation. We can, however, have a greater experience of that salvation in the present day. And so we do, as Paul commands in Philippians chapter 2, we do want to work that salvation out into our lives. We do want to lay aside the old man. We do want to lay aside all the sin and the misery and the despair and the hopelessness that sin breeds into our lives. We want to lay that all aside now, and we want to embrace the new creation that we are in Christ. We want to embrace this new nature that we've been given. For we are now children of God, though it has not yet been fully revealed what we shall be, we do know that we are now children of God. And Paul's reminding us here in 1 Thessalonians that it is the God of peace. God has called you to peace. Now, what is that worth in our chaotic, hate-filled, pandemic-saturated, lying, cheating, thieving world all around us? You and I have peace. We have the God of peace. The world has the God of chaos, Satan himself. We have the God of peace. And Satan is on the run. He knows his time is short. But we still have the God of peace. And our future is secured in him. So it is his purpose, it is God's purpose to sanctify us. Now, I might add here that it is his purpose, his overall purpose, his primary purpose, God's paramount purpose, is to conform you who are in Christ into the image of his Son. So he says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body, everything about you that's material and immaterial, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of that. That we would, when we see him, as it says in 1 John 3, 1 through 3, when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. A day is coming when we will stand before God. We will see Jesus. We will experience the fullness of God's presence. And we will be blameless before him. Now, it is important to understand that that should not weigh us down. It should cause us a sense of celebration. It should cause a deep sense of gratitude, an awe, in fact, of gratitude, knowing that next line, verse 26. Excuse me, 24. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. That which God has begun, he will complete. God will not abandon you. If you have fallen, if you stumbled, perhaps you wonder, is God even interested in me anymore? Perhaps you're in a place in your life right now where you've been away from the Lord, that you've fallen into sin, and you wonder, is there a place for you still in the Father's house? And let me assure you today, there is. We may take a long way around the block. We may divert. We may be among those sheep whom the shepherd must find and locate and reach down over the edge of the cliff and pull back out of the thicket. But he will find you. And perhaps he's found you even this moment. Perhaps this is your moment to stop and realize it's time to come home. Maybe you sense the voice of your shepherd calling you back into the fold. He's here. He has found you. You have not found him. Remember that. We don't find Jesus. He's not the one who was lost. He finds us. So any desire, any longing you have to be whole, to return to the Lord and be made whole again, is a desire that comes from him. God's acceptance precedes repentance. God's kindness leads us to repentance. Romans 2. So the central point I want to make to you in this brief little devotional is that God is at work in you. Whether you have walked in a straight line lately, you've been in devotion, you've been in worship, you've been in service to others, you have grown in your faith and your love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are walking in fellowship with the triune God, or if you've wandered and it's time now for you to come home, this benediction applies to you. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. A thorough sanctification, not a superficial, not a shallow sanctification. And may your whole spirit, listen to the language, through and through, may your whole spirit, soul, and body, maybe you have track marks in your arms from needles. Maybe you've been caught in sexual addiction. Maybe you've overeaten, or maybe you've been bulimic. Maybe you've misused your body in some way. God includes your body in your sanctifying. Your body can, even your present temporal body can be restored to health, can be restored to wholeness. We are not spiritual beings imprisoned in a body. We are material and immaterial. We are spiritual and physical. We're not going to spend eternity floating around in the clouds. We're going to be spending eternity in a new glorified body. A glorified body within a very real new heaven and new earth. Our future, our fully realized salvation, will be lived out in eternity in a very material space. Your body matters. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a wish for you he's making. Nor is it is he telling you to do it per se. He's not saying you better be kept blameless. He's saying may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. That which God has begun in you, that which God is doing in you this very moment, he will see to a consummation. This is good news, brothers and sisters. This is what separates you and I from the religious crowd. The world is filled with religion. The world is as filled with as much religion as it is sin. Religion, as we understand it in the world, is simply man's response to his own sin that he'll never be able to remedy. Just like philosophy and so much of psychology and chemicals and all that goes with it. Man is constantly trying to figure out his own way back to Eden. It ain't going to happen. No, we are the people whom God has graciously, wondrously, thoroughly rescued in his Son. He has given us of his Spirit so that his Spirit dwells in us. He has sealed us for our future inheritance in Christ by his Spirit. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will do it. Amen.